The universe developing toward a self-creating plan in absolute is the recognition of seeing through the glass darkly. I know absolute truth exists, and I am revealing that understanding or experience. Ho, ho, ho! This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the Absolute University, University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher, who has just said a mouthful here. The universe, developing toward a self-creating plan in absolute, is the recognition of seeing through a glass darkly. I know absolute truth exists, and I'm revealing that understanding or experience. Now that really is something to write home about, something really to think about very seriously, because it is something that is very important for us to be aware of. How can you be aware of something and think it's very important when you have no idea what it is? Well, the universe developing toward a self-creating plan. Is the universe developing toward a self-creating plan? What is the universe doing?
It's revealing.
It's revealing a self-created plan. The plan already exists. Now, this statement is one that the philosophers had used, Kant and Plato and Aristotle and many another. They all took this point of view. The universe developing toward a self-creating plan in absolute is a recognition of seeing through a glass darkly. I know absolute truth exists, and I'm revealing that understanding or experience. Now, if we can say, I know absolute truth exists, then how can we say that the universe is making a self-creating plan? The self-creating plan is something that is new, something that had not existed before, something that had not expressed before, something that is just brand new off the drawing board. And there can be nothing new off the drawing board because everything exists. Everything already exists as a fulfilled and a wonderful and a beautiful action and a beautiful activity. Now, we say here, I know absolute truth exists, and I'm revealing that understanding or experience. Number one, can we see very well through a glass darkly? Not very well. It's very confusing. Do we see through a glass clear? The biblical reference to seeing through a glass darkly is made for a lack of understanding, a lack of awareness. Now, when you are aware and when you understand, then you see clearly. The prime minister, not the prime minister, but a secondary minister in France here has taken to task the Islamic people who are moving into France. And he's saying, the French foreign French minister last year, Dominique de Villepin, he was saying that the French are moving into, the Islamics are moving into France and failing to appreciate France. They have no interest in learning the French language. They have no interest in becoming part of the French community. They're merely forming their own little communities in France. And 10% of the population, of the religious population in France, is the Islamic peoples. And that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. Now, they have let that happen since 1950, and they are now beginning to see that that's not what they want. As we all know, the French are very Frenchistic. They want everything to be France. They want the language to be a pure French, not a mixture French. They won't even use the new space terms in French. They have to reinvent them, redefine them in the French language to speak them, even if it takes 12 words to say computer, for instance. But that's okay. You have to admire a nation that is so Frenchophile as the French are. Now, if the Germans had been Deutschophile, if the Germans had been one-pointed for Germany, they would have allowed all these people to come into Germany and would require that within 1 year they learn the German language or else they be deported. And if after 1 year of being in Germany, the Italians, the French, the whomever coming there didn't learn the German language, then they would not be in line to receive any of the benefits of being a German citizen. And in fact, they would be declined the citizenship. They'd be taken from them. Their citizenship would be given conditionally that they learned the language and that they entered into the German community. Now, let's just look at this. Now, you say, what has this got to do with, I know absolute truth exists and I'm revealing that understanding or experience. If we think that we are going to be successful in understanding our spiritual program, if we think we're going to be successful in understanding our divine inner self, we're not going to make it. If we're going to be multi-pointed, we won't make it. Now, if someone loves being a Floridian, they love Florida, and they move to California, and they try to convert Californians into being Floridians. Now, that wouldn't work too well. The Californians would say, get lost, buddy, you know? And the Floridians would say, hey, you don't realize how wonderful Florida is. And then the Californians say, well, what in the devil did you come to California for if you love Florida? Why are you here if you love Florida, if you're promoting Florida? Go back and promote your own state in your own state and let it grow into the beautiful state that it is. And, you know, certainly not saying anything against it, but you must do this. Now, many people, they want to keep their family trees, they want to keep their family roots, and they come to America and they want to be Americans, but they want to remain Greek or French or Italian or German or whatever. And you can't do that because America is a melting pot. America is the melting, that's what it's all about. It's a melting pot where you lose all of your old favors, all of your old traditions, all of your old things that made you into an unusual individual. Because in France, being French is natural. In Italy, being Italian is natural, and so forth. All around the world, every country has its natural beingness of whatever it is. And if any person came in and tried to immediately get into the government and change it into being Greek, the Italians would take umbrage over that very strongly, and they should. Now, we should take umbrage over it here in the United States, that people come to the United States and do not want to learn the language, do not want to participate in the community. They remain in their own little communities, and this happens much in the early years of the United States, too. But as soon as they began spreading out, as soon as they began integrating into the community, great things happened. The French, Italian, Germans, and Welsh, and whoever, all worked together on the space program. They all worked together as a unity of ideas. And now, what happens in America? I know where you all is from. You're from New York. I know where you're from. You're from Texas, you know. I know where you're from. You're from California. The dialects, which are indescribable or indecipherable to a native, is very easily seen by a person coming from another part of the country. Now, why do those dialects happen? Those dialects happen because the people who live there had that sort of a background to them, and then they interpreted and incorporated that background into their dialect. So, here we are talking, I know absolute truth exists, and I'm revealing that understanding or experience. If we want to be divine, we have to be pure divine. We cannot be a black, dusty divine that is looking toward being a silver divine. Because if we allow ourselves to be in any way intimidated by anybody else, Ellen, you're a beautiful person, but, and you see, whenever that but comes along, somebody is trying to intimidate us, is trying to change us, mold us into their attitude. When we are walking in our absolute awareness, we will have people intimidating us very heavily. You remember the story of Jesus?
Oh, yes, I remember the story of Jesus.
Remember the story of Jesus where Jesus was confronted by the rabbis? By the priests, remember? They came and said,
now, what's your opinion on this? And what's your opinion on this? And how do you think about this?
And Jesus always gave them an answer that was harmonious with the biblical teaching, but also harmonious with the extended biblical teaching of a God that is good and loving and kind and beautiful. And so, you see, he had to go because he was not being a good rabbinical Jew. He was not being one who taught the pure teachings of the Hebrew church or the Jewish church, Jewish synagogue. He taught the extended attitude. Now, why is it, and this is a question we all are confronted with and we have never come up with the answer for it, now I'm going to give it to you. Why is it children always ask
why?
Why? Children ask why because the interpretations they have gotten so far on whatever they're talking about have not been adequate. If the parents would honestly talk to a child whenever the child asks a question and answer the question forthright according to however the parent's attitude is, and it may be wrong, but however it may be, the child will not ask why. He'll go on to the next why. He'll go on to the next question he has. But you see, we are not secure in our own philosophy. We are not secure in our own revealing of the understanding or experiencing the understanding of that inner truth. We're not secure in it. If I say to you, you're whole and perfect, you say, but look at what my body is. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You keep saying you're whole and perfect, and you will pretty soon start seeing yourself as whole and perfect, and pretty soon all of that which was is gone. Now, we have worked with hundreds, maybe thousands of people here at the University of Healing and at the Worldwide Healing Ministry. And as we work with these people, day in and day out, our greatest task is to have them be consistent in speaking their word. If they speak their word and say, I'm whole and perfect, but, then they didn't speak their word. If they speak their word, I'm whole and perfect, and then live in that feeling, in that reality, they will experience. If we say, I know absolute truth exists, and I am aware of it, and I experience it. We experience it. It's not that we will experience it. It's there. We have hidden it from ourselves by saying, I wish I knew. Wouldn't it be great if we did know? And all that sort of talk keeps us from the awareness of the absolute. And I tell you, each one of you, you're making your last step right now. But you don't believe me. You don't believe me. You keep saying, if I'm making my last step, you know, when can I see the other side? When can I see the completion? Well, as long as you keep saying, when can I see the other side? When can I see the completion? When can I see the result? You're not it. Because the moment that you're it, you are the result, and you won't see it. You are done. If you go to the doctor and he says, now take these pills, what's the thing the doctor says to you categorically and without reservation? He says to you about your pills, take all of them. Even when you feel good and you don't think you need them anymore, take all of them. Because there are those little residual thoughts in your mind that say it's not so. And you will pop right back into your illness. When you take these pills, it keeps building into your consciousness, if you will, into your body, into your beingness, the conviction that you're perfect. You're perfect. I don't need those pills. I'm perfect. I don't need them. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. And then when the pills are gone, you don't need them. But the doctor gives you pills to take you over that hump, which medicine knows is there, and moves you from being ill to being fulfilled. And this is what we're doing here. I am revealing that understanding and experience. I am revealing my divine self. I am absolute. When we keep saying that, and we keep saying that, hey, well, if you're the teacher, why are you saying it? If you're the master, why are you saying it? If you're this, why are you saying it? Because that's the truth. Now, does a master stop playing music? Why should he play music if he's a master at it? You know, he just picks it up and plays. He doesn't need to play all the time. He plays because he loves it. That's his nature. That's his isness. That's his beingness. And why should we say, I'm whole and perfect? Because we love it. We love being whole and perfect. We love living in that consciousness of wholeness and fullness and beauty. And I know absolute truth exists. We continue to affirm that, even though we know it. We affirm it to ourselves. We don't go out to the world shout, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. I know absolute, I know absolute. Because then people say, describe it in my understanding. Describe absolute how I think about it. Describe whole and perfect how I think about it. And of course, you and somebody else may be quite different because they may not have come to your conviction. However, if your conviction is super, they're there too. If your conviction is a little wavy, a little weak, then you run into a bunch of people who are going to contest your wholeness and your perfection. You know, that's why it's so wonderful, spiritual healing. When spiritual healing happens, nobody remembers that you were ever ill. And so they don't ask you, oh, are you, how are you feeling? You know, you had that terrible thing, now how are you today, you know? And poof, that wasn't a spiritual healing. That was just a plain old get well. Yeah, the universe developing toward a self-creating plan is in absolute. It is that plan. It is already fulfilled. We are merely accepting it, recognizing it. It is the recognition of seeing through the glass darkly. There's no glass darkly. The glass darkly is our excuse for not being one-pointed. And like I said to my friend JJ, I said, JJ, when you live in the state of unconditional love, you will need no one, want no one. You will just be so content with yourself. You'll be so happy with yourself. And you will create so many wonderful, beautiful people in your world that you will never remember the time when you had difficulty keeping wonderful, beautiful people in your world. And the people that you create in your world are going to be so great. As I told someone the other day, when my wife and I would have newspapers in different cities, we built many friendships, you know, 30, 40 very close friendships in each community is quite a few, plus our work in the churches and other things. And then we go to the next community, and Faith would want to keep in contact with those people. And I said, you can't do that. You are now in a new community. Let the past be gone. And if anything comes up from the past, that's fine, but don't search it out. Plant your seeds in this new community and bless it with the magnificence that you are. And she says, oh, you always say the nice things. You know? I said, but you're the nice person. You're the nice person that the community loves. And within no time, she's got her hook, line and sinker right in the new community and enjoying them and participating in things that she hadn't even done in the other community. And each community was like that. But we were only, I only stayed with the newspaper for 2 years at a time. Because then I moved on and had greater experiences because each time I moved on, my income increased by almost half, which is pretty nice. And so we had a very happy living time. However, the desire to hold to the past because it was pleasant limits us from experiencing the now, which is even more magnificent than the past ever was. So, have a lovely evening, and remember, the absolute philosopher sees you living in the now and having the time of your life. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.